World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
You caught me doodling even here at the last minute trying to get caught up. Spencer, I'm just sensing something to your own personal email there that maybe at some point we'll be able to use. Hey, folks, welcome, man. Spencer, I got a blank screen. Just maybe you can throw at least me up there so I can look at myself or whatever. Getting my feet back up under me. Thanks to Adam for doing a great, great job of hosting the show yesterday. Folks, I don't know if you know that. It's not as easy as it looks. It really isn't. And when we get ready to do a show, like this morning, I got up early trying to prepare a show. It's hard to make a show that's relevant, interesting, fun. Try to do all those things. And if somebody asks me, what is it we do here at Coach Dave Live? Thanks, Spence. What is it we do here at Coach Dave? I really don't know. So it's hard for somebody just to step in and pick up and do what we don't really even know what we do here, right? And Adam did a great job. I'll be honest with you, Adam, I watched about 40 minutes of it. I didn't get a chance to get the other 20. I'll get it in. You did a great job. And appreciate you sitting in for me. And appreciate you guys having, a good show. Let me knock a couple doors down here real quick as we get rolling. Michelle and I went to, Spencer, maybe you can pull it up again. I'm sorry, I didn't send you the link. Stay Awake America Tour. We went to the Stay Awake America Tour in someplace in Florida. Where was I in Florida? Stay Awake America Tour. And it was great. I want to tell you a couple things about it before we get in. No, I'm not going to just talk about this whole thing. Bear with me. And here's what's hard for us. I think all of us, we really, really deal with all of this. Information overload. They had some really, really good speakers. Stuart Rhodes had breakfast with lunch with Stuart Rhodes. And I mean, just, I'm not dropping names, but these people that are really, really, really deeply involved in the battle beyond what we can even understand. And Stuart, as you know, Stuart Rhodes, he spent what did he tell me? Was it a year and a half in jail? Unbelievable. Head of the Oath Keepers, Harvard or Yale trained lawyer. He no dummy. And to sit down with him and hear his stories. And we heard from, I wish I could, don't, please bear with me on the names. Okay. There were so many speakers. I'm just telling you. One of the ones I really enjoyed the most, if I had this up that I could get, bear with me, right? He was an Iranian, natural born Iranian. And he came in and told us what was going on in Iran. And I got to tell you something, it was totally different than what the media would tell you, what Trump would tell you, yada, 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 yada. And he said, I didn't know, did you guys know this? That the fastest growing Christian nation in the Middle East is Iran. Did you guys know that? The fastest growing Christian nation in the Middle East is Iran. I had no idea. And when we heard him speaking, he gave us the perspective of understanding that really it's been the mullahs or the religious leaders who have seized control of Iran. Remember back in, we used to talk about the Shah of Iran. Iran was a modernized city. And then the mullahs came in, they kicked out the Shah and they took over. It was really just a tremendously different perspective, not an echo chamber. We were not in an echo chamber. But here, if I were to do it all over again, and God bless Amy Young, who's really Ohio Amy, she put a lot of great stuff in it. here's my perspective. As I'm looking down the road, what I think we need to do, I think we need to do more of these conferences, but I think this, fewer speakers. For instance, wouldn't it be great to have a conference? Let's say on Friday night, you gave 3 hours to General Flynn. Let General Flynn make a presentation and then a Q&A with General Flynn. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Wouldn't that be good? Really, wouldn't that be really, really good? And then you pick somebody else, whether it would be Fritz Zimmerman talking about the Giants. Rather than letting Fritz speak for 40 minutes and then somebody right after him again for 40 minutes. Because I'm telling you, when one of these presentations are done, your mind's just racing with questions that you would like to ask. And immediately you're on to the next speaker. Bill Federer. Yeah, Jack. Bill Federer. That's where my heart's gone. Stuart Rhodes. You'll hear his story about J6 being arrested, didn't do anything wrong. I mean, there's some really, really good things. So that's kind of where, for those of you out there, local guys, whatever, that's what I'm focusing towards. I would love to do a monthly, what would we call it? A monthly gathering and bring one of these guys in and sit down and educate us on specific issues rather than so many different ones. So I tip my cap to Ohio, Amy. She did a wonderful job. I don't even know how many speakers there were. It was unbelievable. But we have to become more than what my buddy Ohio Brett would call a jock sniffer. You guys know what a jock sniffer is? The athletic world is full of jock sniffers. And that is those guys, those people who love to be around famous people. In sports, we call it sports stars. You get a sports star, people will come because they're what? A jock sniffer. That's the term that they give it. The jock strap that a guy wears. Jock sniffer. They want to be around these famous people. And so we try to sometimes do programming with the jock sniffers. Let's be honest, right? You bring in a big name, people come. They want to get their picture taken with them, their autograph, and yada, yada. You know how that works. And we have to get away from that to a degree. And to understand that jock sniffers are just people, man. They're just people that have lived an edgy life and been on the verge of it. So let me move on here. In my heart, that's what I want to begin to do. Whether it be a monthly series, whatever, set these up, bring these guys in, and let us have 5 hours with one guy. 5 hours. Sit down and let that guy talk to us for 5 hours and let us fellowship and let us leave with a plan. I think that's really, really critical. But I'm glad that some of the guys, I wish they'd have gone on and on because they were just getting into the good stuff and their time was up. So then let me bang you in the face on this one. If I ever fly again, Ray, I want you to drive down from Wisconsin and tackle me and hold me down, okay? Because as you know, we missed a show my days are messed up. Friday, I didn't do Friday's show because I had to go get at the airport. So Michelle and I get up really bone early and we drive to the airport because they tell you the airport's going to be packed, right? So we get to the airport and Michelle just yelled at me, not Friday, Thursday, whatever day it was. I don't know, someday, the day that we went there. And so they tell us the airports are going to be packed and blah, 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 blah. So we get up early and go there and there isn't anybody there. We walked right in through security, boom, 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 in through security. And then, Ray, you ready for this one? Then we went to our gate and sat for 4 hours because the plane wasn't there. So we got up early, early, early. And we get to the airport early, 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 like 7 o'clock. And our plane doesn't take off to almost 11. We sat in the freaking Columbus airport. I thought I could be home in bed. And here's one of the things that's really bad about it. There's never any consequence to it. Yeah, flying is the only place where they can say, oh, sorry, you're going to be 4 hours late. Sorry, sit there 4 hours late. What? What are you talking about? So that, you know, it all went okay. And we went, you know, it was good. And then coming back yesterday, we got up at 3. We were at the airport at 3:30, as I said. And we went right through security. No problem. Boom, on the plane and home. So we're here. For those of you who just wonder what's going on, Ray, I ain't getting on no plane again, although I probably will next week. You know how that goes. Because when you're in the air, man, you're there. Boom, boom, you're there. But it's all that stuff leading up to it. And the strip search they give you at the airport and grabbing a hold of your dinger. And I'm not kidding you. I am not kidding you, man. It's just so humiliating. And we put up with it. Hey, I want to thank Phil Parr for hosting the event on Saturday night. Anybody want to give us kind of an update? Michelle and I, of course, we were in Florida, so we weren't able to be there, but we had another little huddle get together here on Thursday. How about a full report on that, Betty? Can you give us one, somebody?
Well, it was great. It was nice to fellowship with everybody. We were telling stories, testimonies. I tell you what, it's just amazing that we can get together and share our thoughts and be like-minded. And even if we're not like-minded, we can still share our thoughts and, you know, just keep going on. Mm-hmm. We didn't do much Bible study because
Matter. That's not what it's about, right?
Exactly. It was a true church, and it would have been nice if there would have been like 10 more people there, you know. It was still amazing, and we did prayers for each other. And I don't know. I thank you, Phil, for having us. It was wonderful.
And building relationships here in Ohio, like wherever Ray is, wherever you guys are, somebody's going to travel. It's just the reality of it, right? Somebody's going to travel an hour, maybe an hour and a half to get there. It gets to be a grind. But I think it's important that we begin to know each other, boots on the ground, know each other. So, you know, funny, Phil Parr is maybe 5 miles down the road from me. I got to walk there, right? We're in Florida. It's just a matter of timing. We got another one coming up here in a couple. Glenn, you out there, Glenn? What's the next one?
Yeah, the next one's April 25th. April 25th. That will be at Carl and Faith's house. They live over near Mel, but, you know, I'll get the word out to everybody.
Okay, April. So local people, come on, man. It'd be worth it. Be worth it. And if you have to drive a ways, you can come. We'll put you up. Michelle and I stayed. You can sleep down in our basement with all of our dogs. No, just kidding. But it's worth it. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together even more as that day approaches. And assemble means to put together. It doesn't mean some assembly required. It just doesn't mean, how many of you walk into church on Sunday and don't know anybody, really? You recognize him, wave to him, see you next week, and there's no assembly going on, no assembly. And I think that we are really, really heading, as I've said before, we're in the crucible. We really are in the crucible. And I think fellowship is going to be really important.
People really enjoy the fellowship. But the interesting thing is, Coach, different people have different, I don't know if the right word is expertise, but they have knowledge of different things that they share. And you know, we learn things from other people.
We do.
So
we do.
It's really good.
So I want to get up there to Paul Goslin, Jack, and Mike Heath. Let's get one going up there as well. We'd love to be able to come up and do it. So, man, we're in crazy times, aren't we? If you'd heard those guys, that guy from Iran, talk about the fact that the fastest growing religion, Iran's full of Christians. People are dancing in the streets because they've been liberated. They've been liberated. Now, what's going to happen? He said the top 12, believe this, the top 12 leaders in their government are gone, dead, top 12. So it'd be like going into Washington, D.C., and cleaning out 12 of them. Where would you start? Now, so that's what they're dealing with. And there are many people out to think it's a good thing. Because we do argue back and forth, don't we, on whether it's a good thing to be in the Middle East, yada, yada, yada. Anybody else want to jump in here real quickly? Anything quick? I got some stuff to throw at you here real quick. Come on in,
hey,
Ray.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Brett.
Hey, Coach. Hey, I'm on the way to the airport. I'm heading out to a briefing in Vegas from our friend 107 wants me back. But, hey, friends in the locker room, I want you to know that Coach Dave delivered again, baby. Coach Dave and Michelle were the star of the show because they were shining the bright light of Jesus. It was an honor to be with you, Coach.
Brett, it was good to see you there, man. And I was honored. Like I said, folks. We had a good contingent, Coach Davers, that were there. You know, George drove down. Yeah, George is still alive out there. George drove down there, and Brett was there. And I ran into others who are Coach Dave livers. And so, good, man. We're making a difference. But we got to pull this whole thing together. So, Brett, safe travels there, man. I appreciate all you're doing.
I want to say something about Brett. I listened to him. He's in second place. So, between you and him, if you go somewhere, you guys are going to change lives.
Hey, Betty, listen, folks, it's about connections. And I'm telling you, we're making connections. And I don't want to pat myself on the back and sound important, but you would be amazed at the access that we have here to names you would know. That with a phone call, I could be on the phone with a name you would know, not Trump. Although we did go to Mar-a-Lago. We didn't go in. We drove by. He happened to be down there, by the way. But where we were is right there where he lives, Palm Beach. And so we drove by his place and the car, my God, cops, it's crazy. It's crazy. But they were all down there. Sam Sorbo, you guys know Hercules, remember? He came and spoke to us. And so it was good. It was all good. But it was kind of a lot of stuff. I'd love to spend some more time with Stuart Rhodes, Oath Keepers. We have to help Stuart. Remember, Oath Keepers. Stuart started that organization, and it was really, really being successful in what he supposed happened. Well, they threw him in jail, didn't they? Enrique Tarrio, same thing. Enrique spoke there. It's good. You heard firsthand from these guys exactly what they'd been through. Not jock sniffing, but to really hear from them what really, really is going on. And, of course, we're getting unbelievably biased news. We don't know who to trust. We don't know who to believe because everybody has an agenda. So I don't want to bore you with that. Say, Coach, get into the good stuff. Come on in, Ray.
Yeah, well, England swings like a pendulum doomed.
Yeah.
Is what Tommy Robertson had to say.
Oh, my goodness. I couldn't believe he was there. But get my head. What's his name again? My brain went dead. Robinson.
Yeah, Tommy Robinson.
Tommy Robinson. By the way, I got to talk to Ohio Amy because most of these things were all taped and available. So you can watch. I don't know where they are, although I had the YouTube yesterday and saw the second day. Tommy Robinson, the guy who raised hell over in Great Britain, Tommy Robinson was there. And he was really, because he told us, folks, they're coming. And he was talking about Islam. It was really, really good. Bill Federer. Yeah, Bill Federer would come. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Look. I have access. I'm not bragging. I know somebody who knows those guys, right? We can get those kind of guys. And I'd like to feel like I'm talking in circles, right? But Tommy Robinson, Kevin. See, here's what happened. We're down there for the weekend doing the event, and Trump is having a banquet at the same time. So who's in town? All these people who came to hear Trump. And so Amy, through her connections, was able to get a hold of Kevin Sorbo and get a hold of these guys, and they came over and spoke to us. Tommy Robinson. I say, who? Can you throw that picture up there? People say, who? Tommy Robinson. I had a picture I could have sent you, Spencer, of me with Tommy Robinson. But point being, folks, the connections are getting tighter and tighter and tighter with what's going on. Boom. Anybody else? I'm going to jump into some stuff here. Appreciate all of you. And a lot going on. There's a lot going on. Can you believe Iran is the fastest growing Christian? There we are. There's me and Tommy Robinson. Fastest growing Christian nation in the world. And then over there, I see me with Kevin Sorbo and Sam Sorbo. I try to tell everybody they wanted a picture with me, but that'd be a lie.
That's cute.
Hercules, right? Hercules. So if you were, as Brett would say, a jock sniffer, there were a lot of jocks there to sniff, for sure. But it was really good. And I like just the refreshing part of being able to just lock arms. We got to lock arms, man. We got to lock arms. Yeah, Jack, keep your antenna tuned. There's a lot going on, friend. A lot going on. Go ahead, James Thomas. Come on in.
Yeah, I'm glad you made it out there safe, brother. Praying for you all the way.
Thank you, buddy.
You know, there's Kevin Sorbo's and Michael Flynn. And Tommy Robinson's right in this huddle. There are some powerful people in this huddle. You know, so people in this huddle that's serving the Most High God, just keep focusing on that.
Amen.
One of these days, we'll have a conference and they'll come to say, hey, I was with JT or Joseph or
that's Rachel. Right.
It's coming, that's brother.
Right. It is coming. It is coming. And Ohio Brett was... Hey, Brett, how'd you get in there, by the way? They kind of added you to the last second. Brett's operating a lot out of Florida, so it's no big deal that he was there, but he opened us up on whatever morning that was. That'd have been Saturday morning, Friday morning, I don't know. one of those days. How'd you happen to swing that one, Brett?
Oh, Coach, we're all one invitation away. And I was there, friends, to be a representation of this locker room. It's called a coaching tree. And we're all on Jesus Christ coaching tree. But in the earthly world, we're thankful for Coach Dave. And we're on his coaching tree. So I was there just to represent those who couldn't be there. And if I started naming names, it'd take hours. Coach and Michelle, I love you. I'm honored to be on this team, but I'm honored. I didn't go to make friends. I came to share the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Okay, so Brett, you just tipped me off. Let's go right here, right now, because this is. Let me say this. How can I say this as nicely as I can? Why is it when you become a Christian man that you turn into a sissy? Can somebody help me out with that? Is anger and rage, is there such a thing as righteous anger? Are you allowed to be angry? Does the Bible say be angry and sin not? Isn't that amazing? The Bible doesn't say don't be angry. The Bible says be angry and sin not. Well, let me open up something for you here. What would that mean? Be angry and sin not. Well, I think that would be getting angry and punching somebody for no reason. That'd be a sin. You wouldn't want to do that. I think being angry and throwing a fit and tearing stuff down, that wouldn't be a good thing. But this is the other side of anger, which means be angry for you to know to do good and not to do it. To you, it is sin. If something makes you angry and you don't act upon it, is that sin also? Is that a sin? See something going on that you know you could do something about? Did Jesus get angry? Hey, Ray, help me out here. Didn't he flip over some tables? Right, by the way, in the church? Didn't he go in the church and flip over some tables? I think so. Right? Wasn't he angry? Did somebody come along and say, Lord, don't be angry. You're ruining your witness here. God gave us anger, folks. He gave it to us, channeled properly in the right way. One of the greatest, you think I'm kidding? One of the greatest motivators in your life is anger. Anger. Properly applied anger is needed. It's needed. Be angry and sin not. Angry and sin not. Kevin, I'll get you in a second, but I'm going to show you this first. So I run into a lot of people, as you probably can imagine. You guys probably do too. And they think that I come across as angry. Is anybody else besides me angry that they're teaching homosex to my grandchildren? Anybody else besides me angry about that? Oh, Coach, don't get angry. Get angry? What the hell? They're trying to destroy my children and my grandchildren. What the hell are you talking about, dude? Yes, I'm angry. I'm angry. The church could use a little bit of anger, couldn't it? Is there any anger in your local church? Directed it the right way? Directed to godly action? Anger directed through godly action? I think so. Anybody else pissed off? Sorry, use that word. Pissed off that we're now seeing that for sure they can't even pass a bill to make sure only American citizens vote. Huh? Are you kidding me? Did it piss anybody off? I ought to piss us off. Let me do this first. Before I play what I was going to play, which order I want to do them in. Okay, here it is, folks. Number 7, pull that up. I know some of you don't like Trump. I get it. But here it is. This is, folks, this is what we're dealing with. It's very short. Go ahead.
Why do you suppose that the leaders in recent memory haven't looked at the systemic amount of fraud
because
that's
they're
taking
crooked.
Place? And
because they're crooked. They make money. They gain power. They use it for power. Like with the Somalians, they vote in a block, 100%. They make a deal with the Somalians. They all vote because they're on a gravy train. It's money first, power second. A lot of people say power first. No, it's money first, power second. Do you ever see where, like, Mercedes, people come over, it's from Somalia, they have no money, and now they're buying Mercedes-Benz cars, okay? It's more cash goes out of the Minnesota airport than any other place in the world or something. We're going to find it. And Minnesota is really bad. The governor's corrupt. The attorney general's totally corrupt. Just like the New York State Attorney General, Letitia James. She's a highly corrupt person. Bragg, the DA, is a corrupt person. They're all corrupt. These are corrupt people. And we got too many of them in our country.
Why do you suppose that the media...
Here's my take on this. Is Trump corrupt? Probably to some degree. But see, here's what I think is different about him. He ain't doing it for money. He don't need money. If he was corrupt, it would be over, what, power, control. I get that. But if you think he's doing it to line his own pockets, dudes, you have any idea how much this guy will make in speaking fees after he's no longer president? So it ain't money. It ain't money. It's pride. Pride. That's what it is. Hang on, you guys. I'll go ahead. Go ahead. I'll let Van's story in and Jack and them go show you a video. Go ahead, Kevin.
You said, you know,
Kevin, there you go.
When you said that about anger, rage, and things of that sort, I'll tell you this, Coach. I have a Tasmanian devil in me that if it was unleashed, I cannot describe how angry and violent I could be. But because I have the love of Christ in me, that puts a cap, that puts a filter on much of what comes through my mind before I speak it or before I take an action. It's like I have to stop and think. Every action has a reaction. So because I have Christ in me, those things come to my mind and they restrain me to some degree. But without Christ, one of these days I'll share the stories of what my early life was, because I know what rage is. I know violence. I know violence that would make you sick. It made me sick. Thinking about my early life and my drunk fathers and uncles and grandfathers and the fights and the brutalness that I saw in my early life. Every one of us men that have grown up in troubled childhoods have that rage and anger and violence in us. And it's only because we have Christ in us that Amen. We cap it.
That's right. That doesn't mean you don't get angry anymore. It's directed, controlled anger. By the way, I forgot Mike Blake was down there too. Thanks, Mike, for coming over. So, we ought to be angry. We ought to be angry. And John Brockoff, I was looking to see if John's in here. John, who spent, I'll probably get it wrong, John. John, who spent 2,744 days, I think, probably wrong, in jail for burning up an abortion clinic. And he made sure nobody was in it. He said that, you know, they're murdering babies there. And he went in the cover of darkness and burnt the damn thing down. And he spent jail time for it. Jail time. I'd say, well, Coach, that's going a little bit beyond. Okay, well, is it? What would you do if they were murdering your grandbaby in there? You remove you? Would you think it'd beyond the pale to go burn that place down if they're going to murder your baby there the next day? Are we our brother's keeper? And so John told me this, and I never forgot it, John, if you're out there listening. He said, Coach, don't ever tell them not to be afraid of you. It's the biggest mistake Christians make when we say, you don't have to be afraid of me, because they should be afraid of me. Why? Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So there's a difference between being angry and how we use that anger. We channel that anger in the right way. But to come across somebody and they say to you, oh, you sure seem angry. Damn right. Why aren't you? They're murdering babies. They're teaching our children to be transgenders in our public schools. Why the hell aren't you angry? It's because the church tells us, oh, don't be angry. Don't be angry. Oh, coach, you got to do something about your anger. Yeah, I got to direct it in the right way. That's what I got to do about it. I'm trying to get somewhere, and all of a sudden it's blowing up. Come on in, Jack. By the way, this show is often about what you guys think, not me. Go ahead, Jack.
Okay, just real quick on the corruption thing. The system is corrupt.
Yes.
And whether Trump's personally corrupt or not, it's none of my business. Whether he told Hillary flat out, if you don't like the corruption, why didn't you fix it when you were in the Senate? Because they live on legal plunder. What they do is legal. It's not correct. It's antithetical to our
that's right,
our freedom. But
that's right.
They never read Bastiat's little book on the law. Legal plunder.
Let me give you a good example of this. We get home yesterday. I go to the mail, post office, and in the post office is a check from the state teachers' retirement system for me. A what? Yeah, evidently, Coach, we didn't send you all the money that we should have sent you in your retirement. And I open it up and think, wow, thank you, Lord. My money, by the way, my money. Only to find out they took 30% out for taxes. Huh?
Ugh.
What the hell are they doing taking 30% out for taxes? Aren't they supposed to send it to me and then I determine what has to be paid? Where do they get the right to take my money? But by the way, most of the money just through inflation, right? Just through inflation. They make it look like you make money so they can take more from it. I don't know how I got on that, but that I got Mary Beth, come on in. Take it. Took taxes out of my retirement. Out of my retirement. They took taxes.
I just wanted to say that was righteous anger that guy burned, whatever his name was, burned that abortion clinic down. And now Gosnell, right, unless he repented, is burning in hell right this very moment.
That's right.
He murdered so many babies, so many babies.
Hey, Mary Beth, I wonder if God's mad at John for saving those babies. I bet he isn't.
I really don't think so.
So you know what, John? I'll get him on here to tell the story. You know what John did? He staked a place out for like a week, made sure he knew when everybody left, he knew when they locked the doors, he knew all that stuff because he didn't want to hurt anybody innocent, right?
Did you stake Mar-a-Lago, Coach?
No, didn't. We should have gone back again.
Okay.
Yeah, we should.
I'm just curious.
Well, I mean, you just had to see the environment. If I'd have got out of my car, I'd have been surrounded by 800.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right? So it needs to be staked, though. No doubt it needs to be staked. Come on in, Adam. Thanks for covering, Adam. You did a great job.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. So Jesus walks into the temple, flips the money-changing tables. He calls the religious leaders whitewashed tombs with dead man's bones inside. Do we not think that Jesus would burn down the abortion clinics? Of course he would. Because
he had to go to anger management class after that. I'm sure that, right? They send anger management. You know what? They were afraid of Jesus. You guys understand that? You understand they killed him because they were afraid of him? Do you understand that?
Yeah.
Righteous anger, they call that. Righteous anger. When's the last sermon you heard on that at your Jellyfish Church? Okay, hang on there. I want to show you this. I got two things I got to show you. Pull up. What did I say? I said I wanted you to play. I don't know, masculine men. Pull that up there, number three.
When fathers stood as shields, when men would work the factories and fields, they protected their families, kept them safe, provided for their children by God's grace. A man's worth was measured by his word, and being strong
was not considered absurd. When men were men, they didn't apologize for standing tall, for being strong and wise. When men were men, they knew their sacred call to guard their homes, to catch them when they fall. Faithful to they told us strength was toxic, made us weak. That manhood was a problem, not to speak. They mocked the protector, shame the provider. But boys need fathers, women need the same. A world without strong men will fall apart. We're seeing now the cost of broken hearts. When men were men, they didn't apologize for standing tall, for being strong and wise. When men were men, they knew their sacred call to guard their homes, to catch them when they fall. A shepherd leader, strong and free. You called him to protect and to provide. Lord, raise a man of honor once again. Men who lead with strength and gentleness within. Who know that being strong. Sacred worth, they raised their children, taught them right from wrong. Lord, give us men like that again. Bring back the days when men were men. When men were men, our families were whole. Lord, help our sons become the men that fathers were back.
Man, huh? We see the destruction of manhood everywhere we want, putting women in men's sports, men in women's sports, everything. Don't take this wrong, Betty. Don't take this wrong, okay? I think our armed services are supposed to be men. That's what I think. I think there's a place for women. There's a place for women in the armed services. But I don't care what it is. You put a woman in the midst of a group of men, it changes the entire atmosphere. All right, cool. Okay, I'm going to move to something here. Let me. I got a couple things. I got. I can do both. Pull that back up. I found this really interesting. That Gilgamesh. I don't know who this guy is. I don't know. I have to confess myself. I don't really know the story of Gilgamesh. Gilgamesh was. I don't want to say he was. What's the word I'm looking for? Not fake, but mythological. Thank you. Mythological. Yeah. And this guy claims that what's really going on in the Middle East is that they're looking Nephilim. Gilgamesh was a Nephilim. And what's really going on in the Middle East is they're trying to find his tomb. I don't know if this is authentic, but it caught my eye. Go ahead and play that.
Okay, so they're responding to my Nephilim video about Gilgamesh I made a few days ago. If you have not seen that series, go watch it. It's pretty mind-blowing. But they say this is the only reason we went to war with Iraq. You have to back out and look at the bigger picture. You're spot on. Can't say enough how right you are. So I found a WikiLeaks article with more information about this. Check this out. So just to refresh your memory, back in 2003, there was a guy named Jorge Fassbinder who was using LIDAR over the Mesopotamian area who found Gilgamesh's tomb. And then we went to war with Iraq 1 month later. So like it says here, it's not about oil. It's about the Gilgamesh resurrection protocol. In 2003, while the world stared at CNN screens and watched statues fall in Baghdad, a different kind of operation was unfolding beneath the sands of ancient Mesopotamia. The headlines screamed weapons of mass destruction, but they were wrong. The real weapons were far older, Gilgamesh, buried in ziggurats and sealed crypts beneath Uruk, Nippur, and Eridu, because the U.S. military didn't invade Iraq for oil. It wasn't a war, it was a retrieval mission. So it says, according to multiple suppressed reports and now buried German archaeological documentation, a massive sarcophagus was discovered beneath the ancient city of Uruk, the oldest city known to mankind, and the legendary seat of Gilgamesh, the demigod, king described as two-thirds divine and one-third human. That would mean he's 66.6% demigod. The tomb was encased in black stone, surrounded by inscriptions unseen since the Sumerian priesthood vanished. At its center, the 11-foot-tall mummified humanoid perfectly preserved. I heard he was 17 feet, but who knows. When Pentagon moved in, the site was declared a national security zone, and the German archaeological team that was uncovered was sent home. They weren't allowed to dig there anymore. That's why we never heard any more reports about it. U.S. military swooped in and took over the dig site. And you can see down here it says two members died under strange circumstances months later. Their field notes vanished. Guys, the giants, the Nephilim, way back before and after Noah's days, they existed. We've even found bones. But the museums come in and take over these sites and suppress that whatever they find. They don't make it available to the public. So it says Gilgamesh didn't just rule, he challenged death itself. His epic, which is a poem, the oldest written story in history, if not mere poetry. It's a blueprint encoded with astromythology, genetic alchemy, and star maps. He sought the plant of eternal life, the Abzu, the primordial waters, and even descended into the underworld. I wonder if that's a plant that was found in Eden that existed after Eden. His body found, if found intact, would be a living relic of the Nephilim blood, the forbidden hybrid lineage of divine and human DNA, outlawed by God and erased by the flood, but kept in whispers by occult societies for millennia. That's what they're doing. Many powerful secret organizations like the Freemasons, the Vatican, DARPA, and high-level Jesuit technocrats have long sought the blood of the gods, not only to worship it, but to weaponize it, and that's what this whole operation was about. The elite believe that time is cyclical. Whatever used to happen is going to come back around and happen again. It happens in every type of scenario. The Tomb of Gilgamesh may not have been simply a burial site. It may have been a containment vault, a temporal lock, put in place by ancient priests or kings to keep something from waking. I believe that. Why else would a global superpower risk global condemnation to evacuate one man's tomb? Exactly. Because it wasn't just a body. It was a genetic ignition key to an antediluvian past before the flood, before Adam, when the world was ruled by hybrid kings and sky beings, a world now being rebuilt in the shadows. And this is happening behind the scenes, I guarantee it. Now this is where it gets really interesting. There are confirmed reports of black site rituals conducted by military and intelligence operatives near the ancient city of Babylon between 2003 and 2005, exactly when they found Gilgamesh's tomb and went and invaded Iraq 1 month later. Sigils carved into the sand, blood drawn, private contractors brought in from aerospace programs. They weren't just studying the body, they were communing with it, attempting to resurrect the mind of Gilgamesh to transfer the consciousness encoded into his preserved neural structure into the machine substrates. Project Gilgamesh, the integration of Nephilim memory with artificial intelligence. Guys, this is happening. If successful, it wouldn't just bring back a king. It would open a stargate to the old world, one that the flood was meant to close. So here is the photos of the video of the body of Gilgamesh that they found. And if you want to see the video, it's in my other video I made a few days ago. Just click this comment and it'll take you to that video. So what did they find? Maybe the better question is, what found them? When the tomb of Gilgamesh was opened in Iraq, it changed. It became a cursed zone, a vortex of endless war. Soldiers reported hallucinations, sleep paralysis, visions of ancient beings made of shadows. Entire squads broke out at once. This was not PTSD. No, this was Nephilim's spirits taking them over. The blood of kings had been harvested. The resurrection protocol had begun. Beneath the geopolitical chessboard lies an older game, one played by entities without blood, whose thrones are not of this earth. The elite do not seek wealth. They seek the keys to the forgotten power. Yes, they do. And deep underground, behind seven layers of security, Gilgamesh is likely no longer dead. They may have resurrected him. I discussed that in my other video with Tweet23andMe. Their whole objective is to find a relative of the Ancient Ones, the Nephilim bloodline, who can be reconstituted, his spirit reconstituted into their body. They're not just waiting for the signal to crown him again. Guys, this stuff is... Call me a conspiracy theorist.
Wow, huh?
Call me...
Hey, take it with a grain of salt. Huh? I don't know, right? But we know the stories of those guys when they got into, they went into Iraq. They found that giant, wherever that guy was. Oh my goodness. Indiana Jones, right, Beth? That's what it sounds like. Come on in, Lauren.
Good morning. I'm sorry to bother you. I just have an urgent prayer request. Hope woke up this morning at 2 o'clock this morning with pain in her underneath her left rib cage, and she was crying and she still has the pain, so we might be going to the hospital. So or try to get in to see her doctor. So if you can be praying that she would just be healed, it'd be just an attack because she has demons who bother her in the middle of the night.
I think it's
an attack because they literally visit her in the middle of the night and wake her up and start taunting her. So thanks.
Lord, we just ask you that Hope, is that her name, Hope? Yes.
Yes, sir. Her name is, my daughter's name is Hope.
Yes, Lord. Father, we just pray a hedge of protection around Hope right now, Father. We come against any demonic entity, any demonic force, anything that would try to burrow its way into the life of Hope, Lord. We ask that you would touch her, make her whole from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. Father, we pray for wisdom for her mother, how she would direct it, where she would take her. And Lord, we pray for supernatural connections with doctors, although this may not be a medical issue, Lord, whatever it would be, Lord, that you would be King of Kings and Lord of Lords in the life of Hope. And we command every dark spirit to be gone from her, the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Amen.
Thanks,
folks. The demonic is so real. The spirit world is so real. And we don't get it.
Yeah, because Coach, like literally she's got like my brother who's passed away or my dad or some other people, she has physical beings that wake her up and start taunting her.
No. Well, they have no agency. They have no right to be there. Covered by the blood of the Lamb. The word of her testimony, Lord Jesus. Craig, go ahead.
Well, I'm in agreement, Coach, and I'm sure a lot are in this line. And, you know, Laura, sometimes you got to go back and you got to clear out because things come in. So maybe just do a house cleaning might be a good thing, right? So you know how to do all that. But I just want to affirm what your person was saying before this video, Coach. Okay, this is where we're at. Okay, we were talking a little bit in after show about Achan and how he took a Babylonian garment after they had made a very large victory over the king of Jericho. Okay, he took gold, he took silver, and he took a Babylonian garment. The Babylonian garment was charged, okay? In other words, you have spiritual things that can be attached, all right? And they can be attached to objects. So what this gentleman is just laying the foundation for is, okay, what was the next city that they went to? AI. Right. So wouldn't it be pretty ironic to be able to have the spirit of Gilgamesh, right, reestablished, working through AI again, through a Babylonian garment? Gee, where were these troops at? In the Babylon, right? One of the things that I think a lot of the troops that come over here, you know, war is hell. It's always been hell. You look at the people that were in World War II, the soldiers that fought D-Day. I mean, you can't unsee what you see in war. You know, you just have to process it. But in addition to what happened to these soldiers, all right, they walked the grounds of demonic spirits. In other words, those spirits came back through open doors that those guys ignorantly weren't taught about, the spiritual things. They were taught how to fight the physical things, but they weren't taught to fight the spiritual things.
Amen.
And that's why a lot of these came back, and they brought those spirits, and they need deliverance, okay? They need Christ. They need the power and the authority, right, to go through and not only break those memories, but take those spirits that came back with them out of their home and their family.
Amen.
Okay. And, you know, when you look at it, they say, gee, there's about 22, 23 soldiers killed themselves. You know, I always look for the numbers to see kind of if there's some sort of thing about God. Well, what's 11? Chaos, right? Why did they go over there? 9/11. And there's like 22 that get killed every day, you know, double 11. Now, does that mean that's the reason why? No. But I'm just trying to say is what that video was, is probably has more to do with George Bush's 1,000 points of light speech on September 11th in 1990 than we ever can understand until we get to the other side.
Yeah, we don't have any idea what we awakened when we went over there, do we? What we exposed ourselves to, what we exposed those soldiers to. Deep, dark, spiritual consequences, spiritual entities. We really don't know. They called it Babylon for a reason, didn't they? They did. It's deep, man. It's deep. And again, church doesn't believe in the supernatural anymore. Really, we don't. We believe in some types of demonology, but really, we don't get the Gilgamesh thing. We just don't get that, man. We don't. Come on in, George.
Thank you, Coach.
George, that George. Yep. It's that George. George, you went down there with us. Yep. Drove all the way down there. Go ahead, George.
Okay, thank you very much. Yeah, I just wanted to talk about that. Demons are real. And I had to memorize when you're getting attacked at night. My son gets attacked at night and gets sleep paralysis too. He had to have it happen last night. And so what I say to them is that him is this: the fervent prayer of a righteous man is answered. But you see, this is the thing: you've got to read Ephesians, put on the whole armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 20. In the middle of the night when it's happening like that, read it from the King James Version. And then read 2 Corinthians 10:4, good buddy, and read these out loud. Speak them out loud, and the demons have to listen. They have to obey, and it clears the air. And so that's what I'm saying. You say the whole armor of God, and then 2 Corinthians 10:4, good buddy. And then, so... Thank you.
All right, George, I'm going to spank you real quick. George, I'm going to spank you real quick.
Okay.
You didn't call your mommy. Your mom wanted to know what she got. Was worried about you. And she texted me and said, have you heard from George?
Okay.
George, hey, call your mom.
Thank you. Thanks, Coach. Thank you.
Love you, buddy. See you. James, come on in.
Yeah, I think since COVID, we have entered into supernatural sphere I don't think we've ever been in, and I think it is from here forward. I would just say this: if you don't know your God, you better. But we're getting ready to enter. I believe, and I feel the sense of a lot of body of Christ. We're getting ready to entering something that's so supernatural with the revealing of aliens that they're fixing to release a movie of the aliens. We got Trump getting ready to touch that alien. They're real. And these are not aliens. These are demons.
They're interdimensional. That's right.
These are demons in human suits that they're getting ready to bring in our sphere.
There is going to be people, I will say, you know, I don't prophesy this. If you don't have faith, there's people going to be dying. There is COVID, you can see what they started with COVID. Look how many brothers and sisters died because of this wicked thing. But we're those who does things, who knows their God, will do exploits. God is going to expose all this stuff. And if you've got a spirit of fear, brother, I'm telling you, you got to get rid of it. Because Amen. I'm telling you, there is fearful times coming, but we serve a God who lives. Amen.
Amen. So James, they're going to call them extraterrestrial, folks. They're interdimensional. Now, you understand the difference in those two things, extraterrestrial and interdimensional. That's really what's going to begin to manifest. And the Bible says men's hearts failing them for fear for the things that are coming upon the earth. Real quickly, I'm about out of time. I want to get this in there real quick. Pull it up for me. Number one, folks, don't panic over gold and silver. Don't panic over. So I don't have time to go through this. Scroll down a little bit, folks. The banks are in a squeeze. Okay, now look right here. Gulf states are liquidating their gold and silver because the Hormuz closure killed the oil cash flow. They don't have money. The oil isn't flowing. They need immediate liquidity to fund the war and defend their currencies. The money didn't vanish. Most likely, it moved back to the dollar just for survival. When sovereignty wealth funds start dumping gold and silver to survive, it affects the market price in a gigantic way immediately. That, I'm told, is what's taking place. Are you ready for this? Do what you got to do. This is a buying opportunity, folks. This is not a panic moment. So what's going on is the inflation is unbelievably out of control. We are dead broke. So they're going to have to come up with some other kind of system in order to keep it afloat. And right now they're manipulating gold and silver to pay debts that they're obligated to. But there is nothing that's happened in the world that would ever cause the price of gold or silver to go down. Hey friends, I bought a Coke, a Diet Coke, a can of Diet Coke at the event this weekend, $2.50. Now, if Coke is going up, why would silver be going down? Can somebody explain that to me? Price of Coke, $2.50, a Diet Coke, yuck, $2.50 for a Diet Coke, and then they're telling me gold and silver are going down. No. See, they have to drive down the price of gold and silver to get people to sell it so they can buy it. You understand? Come on.
They're at their wits end, coach. Hold on, everybody.
Yes,
coach
sir.
Is right.
Yeah. This thing is going to the moon. They're trying to scare everybody out so they can buy it up, baby. They're going to buy it up. So you sit around, you're all panicked. Oh, my goodness, I bought gold at this, and now it's that. No. Right out the storm. Right out the storm. Diet Coke, $2.50 in gold going down, silver going down. Yeah, it's a paper market. It's down. We're really in a squeeze, man, financially. Really, really in a squeeze. So I just wanted to comfort all of you out there that maybe are concerned. Hold tight. I'm still seeing predictions of, believe it or not, $1,000 silver when this whole thing balances out. So just ride the horse out. Anybody else go to the group here? I got some other stuff. I'm about done. Appreciate you guys all. I know a lot of you pray for us when we're gone. It was stressful. And we got to go out. Yes, I didn't say this. Got to go out on Monday. What day is today? Sunday. Went out Sunday. Spent all day out on the Intercoastway. My nephew, who we visited down there, rented a pontoon boat. We got to float out, swim in the ocean, soak my toes in salt water, all that kind of stuff. So it was good, but we'll come back to a lot of stuff that needs to be done. So onward and upward. Keep your eye on the prize. Keep moving forward, man. What a time to be alive. See you tomorrow.